Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tennell, for today, Sunday, July 18th. Thank you guys for tuning in with us tonight. We're happy to have you here. If you have a comment or a question for us or for tonight's guest, please give us a call at 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. Now I'm getting ready to turn it over to Miss Denise, and she can greet us as well.
Good evening, everyone, and once again, welcome to tonight's show. So happy and excited about tonight's guest. So sit back and relax and stay tuned for our guest. But in the meantime, you can join me over on Twitter for a tweet chat. We'll be following along with the show. If you have any questions, you can drop them over there on beauty_talk. Again, beauty_talk. We'll be having a tweet chat. And you can follow the chat by following the hashtag #BeautyTalk.
I just want to quickly also put it out there. You can also email us your questions, and we can get them on the show as well. If you email us at beautygirlsmedia@gmail.com, that's beautygirlsmedia@gmail.com. All right. I don't want to hold her up any longer, so I'm going to bring our guest on tonight. We are speaking with beauty maven Kiana Stewart. I'm going to bring her on the line.
Hello.
Hi, Kiana. Hi. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
We are wonderful.
I am wonderful, too. I was racing to the airport. I'm like, I have to get to this today. We have got to have this conversation. How are you ladies doing?
We're great.
We are wonderful. We are wonderful. Well, we want to just jump right in the conversation. Why don't you introduce yourself to our listening audience and give them an idea, for those who don't know, who you are and how you got started in beauty.
Wonderful. So I am Kiana Stewart, and I am from Baltimore, Maryland. I own a hair salon where we have put a spa inside of that, and I'm in the process of opening up a new Medi Spa. And I have been in beauty since the time I was 13 years old. My godmother owned a hair salon, and I was one of those children that was just obsessed with myself from a very early age. And I would, since 13, I would sweep hair, and sweeping hair turns into shampooing hair, and, you know, I went to high school where they had a hair, a cosmetology program, and I took that program, had my license, cosmetology license at the age of 17, and I have been in the industry ever since. It's been my only career.
Oh, wow. Wow. Mm-hmm. Do you regret not trying anything else?
Honestly, no, because I never feel like I've ever had a job.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice.
You know, like, people will be like, do you want to do this? And I've done other kinds of businesses. I went to college, and I went to school for business first out of high school. So I did other business things, but beauty is my business. So I actually franchised Metro PCS phone stores for 5.5 years. I fulfilled the contract with them just to learn the business of franchising. So that was like my other thing that I guess I can say that I put that on the menu. Mm-hmm. Nothing like that.
Yeah.
It wasn't my thing. It wasn't my thing, you know? Like, I did it, but that was business.
Yeah. Nice.
Well,
nice.
So obviously you must love what you do anytime you feel like you've never had a job. So, I mean, I think that's a great
yes.
response.
I love the industry, honestly, and I'm such a girl's girl. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just like, mm-hmm. it's a thing for me. It's inside of me. And I've never not enjoyed any position I play in beauty. I still love it. Like right now with my in transition, I still love it. Like I even love my watching my girls still do their thing. So that's exciting for me even see them to just kind of get people pretty and, you know, learn new techniques. I just love the industry, you know, ever changing.
Nice. What inspires you?
You know what? I have had so many inspirations along the way. So from early age, it was my great-great-grandmother. So my family is actually from the South. I grew up in Baltimore, Maryland, but my great-grandmother, we still have 5 generations alive. She was like the first person that ever took me to the hair salon, and I spent my summers there. And she would let me like cornrow her hair and polish her nails. And she took me to this hair salon. And I remember, like, watching the girls shampooing. I remember her tipping the girls. That was, like, my first little, like, I like this, you know. And then as I got older, working in the salon, the women who work, I love how they, you know, the way they dress, fabulous, you know, and just how they had such influence, you know, how they gave people so much confidence. So I just think really women inspire me, you know, even when I look at other women. And then my mom, you know, my mom gave me my drive. So definitely just I have a lot of strong women in my life, and all of them have kind of inspired me to go a little, you know, a little harder just in business, but just the beauty industry. I just love my great-grandmother. She was just every day full face, like she just was ready, you know, and I'm like, I want to be like that. So that was like my first beauty inspiration for sure.
Gotcha. Did you ever think you would own your own salon?
You know what's funny? I actually did not want to own my own salon. I was actually a very happy worker bee. The craziest thing, though, so the salon ownership was never my thing. I planned on owning other things, but the salon wasn't it. I was always like, I was a good worker, you know, and I worked in the salons for so young. Like, I had my license at 17, and I had a full book at 17. I could clear about 30, 40 people a week out at 17, you know what I mean? And I graduated early, so I was, like, working like a grown woman, working at 17 years old. At 19, I was already, could do six and a half figures at 19, so I had my career so early, and the salons was just so much. I actually enjoyed just doing my clients and letting, you know, paying you your money and going home. What happened was I started a hair extension company, and that became so controversial in other people's salons because at the time no one sold hair. This was like 12 years ago when I first did Goldilocks. People sold it, but it wasn't like the only big companies like Extension Plus, if you guys know them, or it was like in Pennsylvania and Giovanni's and Florida. It wasn't a lot of, it was like that was where you got hair from, right? So I was like, good, I'm going to sell hair. I'm going to get a hair extension company. And that was, it's not like, it wasn't Instagram time. So like 13 years ago, selling hair was kind of like still a little foreign. But long story short, I decided that I'm going to just sell hair, and that was going to be my thing. I wanted to actually own a beauty store. I never wanted to own a hair salon. And I was inside of someone's salon, and I was selling so much hair, and it was like, oh, hell to the no. Like, this girl getting paid. She got lines wrapped around here. You can't do this hair. So I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'll get my own place, you know.
So you got to go. Because now that was like 12, 13 years ago. And I'm, you know, just being on Instagram and looking at other stylists who sell hair and seeing the pictures where people are wrapped around the building, like you said, why do you think that is such a big thing?
I think it's two things. I think it's one, social media has the impact where people want to, you can influence them, right? So that's their way of showing support. You can build a following and you can, you know, really do numbers and you can really show how much support you have and things like that. The second part of it is, I mean, the reality of it is people love hair extensions, you know? So I think a part of it is people like who they like and they want to have a lot of support from them and, you know, they grow to like the product. And then from a social media standpoint, and then the second part of it is just one of those things. Like, I don't know a woman now, you know, now it's wigs, but people wear weaves. That's just a thing, you know. So it's like a part of everyday, you know, it's hair. It's just a part of the hair culture in this moment. That's what it is. So I think it's a combination of both of it. I don't think the industry is the same, though, but I think they're making it work, you know. You know, they're making it work for what's happening, you know, today.
Right.
You know?
So,
yeah.
You said you don't think the industry is the same. What? How has it changed, in your opinion, since you first started?
Well, when I first started buying hair extensions, was like that was serious business. You know, you couldn't just have any hair you didn't want. You didn't want Brazilian hair. It wasn't Indian. It wasn't it. You know, it was like really more like it was more like a super it girl type of thing. You know, you could. It was such a rarity. It wasn't on every corner. You know, so people were paying top dollar for hair extensions, and you know, it really did have to be the best thing. You were paying $200-$300 for a bundle. It better not shed. It better not tangle. You know, it was like it was really a luxury item. I think now hair extensions are kind of really like a store item, just that people just have the ability to sell it. So like when I was selling hair, it was really like that, you know, but now I feel like you still have your quality products, not to, you know, say like there are good products, but it's not to the level of standard that it has to be. It's in mass production now, you know, so it's a little different where before it was like it wasn't as accessible. Now, you know, China kind of got in the game, you know, that always changes things, and it's just a different kind of market. I don't think people are as particular anymore, you know, when it comes to their hair.
Gotcha. Well, let's talk a little bit more about the actual hair and skin, because you're also an esthetician, correct?
So I am actually a esthetician. So I am, I took my license and extended my hours and got a pretty much a aesthetic license to do aesthetics. So I'm actually, that's what the practice is. Esthetician is, it's similar, but esthetician is more just a skin focus. My focus is a little bit more medical aesthetics, and then I took it a step further. So I'm currently in nursing school. So I'm kind of trying to do like a full-on nursing now. So it's like a full-on transition into a whole new career. So that's been exciting. But, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Okay, so that brings up a whole lot more questions.
Oh, my gosh. Doing it all.
Girl, well, you know what it is? When you start your career very early, you have a good career. It's like somebody retiring, they did their 17 years or 15 years or whatever. So I've had my whole, you know, I've done my career well. So this was naturally, like, I always just love skin. I just love the beauty business, you know, looking at faces, looking at people. And so it was a very, very natural transition. And I actually come from a medical family. So all the women in my family are nurses. So it was kind of like when I decided to do this, they were like, whoo, pass the baton, finally. So it's kind of funny because I was the one that was like, yeah, I'm not doing the nurse thing. I'm going to, you know, do my own thing. And they're like, okay. So it's just, you know, full circle moment. funny.
Wow.
Where do you find the time?
You know what? I don't even really know. I honestly, it's so crazy because I'm one of those people where I am like, whatever I like, I just jump in. You know, I figure the rest of the parts later. But I have had the most amazing clients and supporters because whenever I choose to do stuff, even when I was like a full-time franchise owner, they literally lean with it, rock with it. They're like, okay, this is what she's doing. Look, if she's going to work one day, I'm going to come. You know, so everybody, I have been thoroughly supported the entire time. Like, whatever I do, and they're like, okay, this is what she's doing. And we're going to do it with her. And we love her. And we stand beside her. So I'm like, great. So honestly, my tribe has made it so easy for me to transition, y'all. That has been the biggest blessing. They really have. So, and if I say it's going to be these days a week, they're like, great. And it's so supportive. They're like, go to school. We'll come when when you're coming. And you're doing faces and we'll come. So they really kind of helped me, like, curate, you know, this whole dream of mine by being so flexible.
Right. Oh, nice. So how has the business, I mean, before you started working on the new place, how has the pandemic changed your business?
Well, you know what? So the pandemic was really more personal for me than my business, to be honest. Because when you do a business for a very long time, you have a very solid following. They follow you. You know, for me, it was more so the aha moment of really confirming that I was, you know what I mean? I was already transitioning, mm-hmm. but the pandemic was that moment where I stepped back and was like, okay, I really just looked at how much I was working and how many hours I was putting into working and more so, you know, like really giving me a clear vision about what I wanted to do more than my business. It's definitely, I knew I definitely needed one thing it did do for my business is help me see, okay, I need to try to pivot a little bit more to online business. So I've kind of been perfecting that because I've been I had my brick and mortar for so long that all of my sales were just in store. So I had to be a little bit more flexible with jumping in with my online strategy. But honestly, I was so blessed that business kind of, when I opened up, it opened up, and we, you know, actually did even better when we opened up after the pandemic. I felt like people had a little bit more appreciation for what we had to offer, kind of being without us for a little bit. So we've been blessed. Yeah, we have really been blessed.
Nice. Now, speaking of online, because, you know, of course, online sales are probably out of the roof, you know, once everything shut down. So because you... Mm-hmm. You know, you sell the hair. How was the hair extension or, you know, how was that? You do sell yours online. How was that a part of, I mean, how were the sales, I guess I'm trying to say, for that?
Yeah, the sales. So that's exactly what happened. Because, first of all, it was a hair shortage. It was a shortage. And
wow.
So, I'm sorry, guys, one second. So because it was, because it was a shortage of hair, for us it was kind of great because we did the whole curbside pickup, you know, to kind of get our game plan in place. Which I feel like curbside pickup because people really feel important. They're like, yes, order my stuff, bring it outside, I can go. So that was great. And then so our sales did good because no one could get hair. And my supplier actually was still like, I got you. I'm like, wow, this is awesome. So, you know, I didn't initially feel it. Now it's a little different. The hair market for me in terms of, like, I have repackaged more so my services now and sell them in a different way. That's one thing I did do. So we repackaged the services now since we've been open, and I sell a lot more higher ticket services together. We kind of make people buy packages now, which has been a great little pivot for us. But initially we did really, really good with sales. But now because of so much happening in India, the market is a little nutty. So we're just trying to navigate through that because they had a major COVID breakout. So it kind of is like it takes about a month to get hair, and if you know what that does to inventory, it definitely changed the game. So that part we're kind of working through now, but initially we didn't, you know, we were kind of riding the wave.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. That's interesting. So tell us, you spoke of your services, so tell us a little bit about, okay, your existing location. Tell us a little bit about what you mm-hmm. do there, the services that you offer. And then mm-hmm. once your new place opens, tell us how things are going to be over there. Are you just going to be in one location or will you have both?
So we will be two locations. The salon is my first baby. It's my first project. I actually opened that salon at 24 years old. I was so young. And so I was 23, actually turning 24. So, you know, like I said, it was really one of those things where it's like, fine, I can't sell hair. I'm going to make my own place, you know. And I was very kind of mature. So I actually ended up over building like a real establishment just, you know, because I have worked around great people. I have really been nurtured, you know, in the industry. So I was, you know, I was looking back, I'm like, I'm really impressed with, even at that age, how much I knew to do in a business. So we were a weave extension. It only made sense that we were, our specialty was weave extensions. We sold hair extensions. That was the reason how we got there. So weave services was like our specialty at the salon, still is. So it kind of goes hand in hand. We sell the hair, we provide the hair, we do the weave services. But there, right, currently what we did is we have a salon where we do all salon services, color cuts, you name it, the full service salon menu. And then I built in a aesthetic kind of like suite. So, and I made the front area kind of like a Medi Spa salon check, and it's kind of cool. And so I did that. So we actually offer like hydrofacial, and we offer hydrofacial, laser hair removal, some peels. So we kind of gradually like brung in our little, you know, soft aesthetics that we wanted to do just to kind of build up the clientele and get a feel for how well people would kind of take to us transitioning into aesthetics. And they really took to that. And that went amazing. So it's great. So now at the new location, it will only be a medical spa. And there we will strictly be just doing spa services. So there we'll still do the hydrofacials, the peels, laser hair removal, skin tightening, body tightening, Botox. There we'll actually do injectables there, and we will be doing IV hydration treatment and weight loss management at the new location.
Nice. Now, that hydrofacial, let's talk about that a little bit, because Rachel Thompson did tell us that we had to get that hydrofacial.
Yes, hydrofacial is a thing. And this is a thing. I'm so excited because I bought the hydrofacial pre-pandemic. Like, I bought my hydrofacial like a year before the pandemic started, and it was so exciting because there were no black girls who owned a hydrofacial in my state at the time when I bought a hydrofacial device. So it was like, oh my gosh, black girls own a hydrofacial device. It's such a great thing. And now post-pandemic, I see people with hydrofacial devices. I'm like, good, this is great. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's definitely becoming more and more of a thing because people have gotten deeper into self-care. So, but hydrofacial is the most amazing. It's the number one requested aesthetic service in the world because it pretty much is a device where it does everything a facial does through a device, and it kind of does it in a suction motion where it literally cleans out the pores. It's like getting your teeth clean, but done on your face. It's like, you know how you get teeth clean and you need that deep cleaning? That's what a hydrofacial device does for your face, and it literally gives you all the steps of a facial, but to the 10th degree, because it's using a suction-powered device. The whole service is done with the handheld piece, so you never are really touching someone's face. It comes with LED lights, and you can just really tailor it to specific skincare concerns you need. So it's an amazing skin treatment if you guys haven't had that done yet.
Oh, yeah, the next time I'm home in Baltimore, I will be booking that appointment.
Oh, you better. I didn't even know you came to Baltimore. Yes, are you kidding me? Yes, please, please, definitely come here.
Yes, I can't wait.
Let me just ask you about this
because this is something I've been wanting to just talk to anybody in the beauty industry about. So years ago when I got my license as an esthetician, it was so hard convincing black women that they really needed to pay attention to skincare. Mm-hmm. So, since you started out so young, how was that? Is that, are black women your major, the main clientele that you have? Or, even if they're not, how was it over the years?
This is a wonderful question. This is the best question because I love to talk about this. My hardest part doing this is convincing Black women to pay for these services and get these services. Mm-hmm. It's so crazy. Because the first thing I thought was like, oh, I own a hair salon. You know, I'm seeing people, mom, this is going to be so easy, and they are not my audience. And it's so crazy because I decided to invest in something that I do on the regular. So I really had to assess, like, wow, you know, I did this thing and I want to do it for it. So I really think with Black women, the whole thing has been education. You have to, the sale for them is education. It's not like, hey, I got this thing, get it. Because they really do, a lot of times will be like, Black don't crack. And I'm like, girl, friend.
It does.
Friend,
let's take care of it together.
You are not taking care of the way you think you should. And so I give them the most humbling experience ever, the hydrofacial. So they can really see what comes out of their face, what comes out of their pores, so they can know, honey, you needed this a long time ago. So I feel like it is, so I do have a mixed audience because, you know, I have to, you know, sometimes it's so much easier for someone who already has the capability to treat themselves on a regular or familiar with the product. It's a much easier sale. So it's still that little uphill battle, and I find my happy place with that being education with us. So I don't even try to, I say, listen, this is what it can do for you. This is the result. You let me know, okay? Type of thing. And it's like, oh, wow, you know. So I am, like, you know, I just always try to keep the conversation open in our community. And then I think, because initially that was my biggest frustration when I did it. I'm like, oh, my God, I've invested thousands and thousands in this stuff. And people don't even take care of themselves the way I thought they did, you know. And I was devastated.
Right.
Why aren't they getting this? What is wrong with people? Everybody get it. They're like, no, you get this. So, of course, naturally, you have to find your audience. And then, you know, Black women, our luxury is our hair. You know what I'm saying? So hair is expensive too now. You got people paying you $200, $300, $400, maybe $1,000, even up to $1,000 for hair. So it's like, oh, you add that face on there, that could get a little crunch in the budget, right? So I was realizing, like, okay, we got to spread this around. So it is a tribe for us in that now, and I've learned people, I love that the internet is, and that's the beauty in social media, because now it's like, okay, no, this is very normal. You know, just like getting your body was a thing, like who would ever thought it's time where we really don't play about it. Like, we get them bodies done, okay? We find that $8,000, they are getting handled. You know, like one in five women have plastic surgery, so it's like the same thing with the face. So I think now it's kind of like catching on, and people are like, all right, you can't just do one part, it's the whole thing. So that's been great.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about the location where you're going to have this new Medi Spa. Tell me a little bit about why you guys, did you target that area for any particular reason? Just tell us a little bit about that and a little bit about the new place and when you guys are going to open and all that good stuff.
Gotcha. So this is a big deal. I kind of act a little like, ha, 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 about it, but honestly, truly. So I am going to be the only Black female-owned business owner at the moment in Harvard East. So I was very intentional about my location. I was very intentional about being seen. I was very intentional with targeting my ideal audience. And I also just wanted people to see how you can really do it, too. You know, like one thing I pride myself on is, like, whatever you do, do your best. You know, like, really make your own dreams come true. So when I did this project, I've done enough business that, you know, I've been in my place, this is my 11th year. I'm like, if I ever do something again or expand again, outside of me franchising, I want to do a thing that I'm going to be like, wow, key. You know, like, so intentional. And the crazy part about it is I had fished so long for so many opportunities in, like, ritzy downtown areas. And I remember even Federal Hill was, like, my first location. And a white lady was like, we just don't know how you're going to afford a multi-million-dollar business in this area. How are you going to do it? And I was like, oh, wow. Like, I was literally totally discouraged. And that's how you know God is still amazing. So I never even thought I was going to be down Harvard East. I thought I was going to get a good location, right? So I was, like, going around Harvard East. And I ended up having an agent represent me because I felt like they kept seeing this young Black woman, and they like, you know, type of thing. So it was like they wasn't trying to let me in, and I'm like, let me in. So my agent, I had picked a place that was like a, beside Harvey East, right? Still being modest. And he was like, no, I got this spot for you. And it was like prime real estate. And I'm like, you know, because I had just been declined in Federal Hill. And I'm like, this is Federal Hill, for Christ's sake. Are you kidding me? So, and I, in my head, I'm an established business owner. And honestly, so he's like, no, we got this. You're going to get this location. I'm like, okay. And guys, I have like a corner unit in Harbor East. And that's kind of like unheard of. They are letting us in. So we have two other African-American businesses that just came to Harbor East, but they're both, you know, male owners. They're restaurants. So the fact that I'm bringing this there, we had, it was wide open. There's zero aesthetics in Harbor East. And it was just a no-brainer for me. So it's nothing but God's plan, and I'm very excited about it.
And if anybody
wow, that's
know,
exciting.
So, if anybody
it's
doesn't
so
know
exciting.
The Harbor East area in Baltimore, this is a huge deal.
It's big. It's
a huge
is a very
deal.
Huge deal. And it's like, honestly, like when they call me back, I'm like, ooh, yes. This is like, it was like, okay, you sure? And it was, listen, y'all, it has been the longest project of my life. And keep in mind, I've done build-outs, constructions. I told you I've even done T-Mobile franchises. It has literally been the long, this has taken me 9 months. But we are expected to open September 1st, Labor Day weekend. So September 3rd, that is our due date. I'm saying due date at this time because that will be 9 whole months since I started this project. So it's literally like birthing a baby. And, yeah. So we are coming.
Wow.
We're going to be open. We're going to be in Harbor East. We have parking. I mean, it's just, when I say the total package of a, like a prime location, that's just what it was. It's for me. So very happy about that.
Nice. Well, we're happy for you. Congratulations. Is there going to be like a big grand opening celebration? You got to do something big.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a whole rollout type of thing, and it's such a blessing to be in it. So we are going to have a whole rollout plan, and it's actually we're doing a community grant opening because Harbor East is so saturated. It's going to be we're going to get everybody the details. Right now it's like because we're still in the construction mode, you know how that 8th month of pregnancy is if you have children. It's just like, oh, my God, this baby, come on already. So we are, like, working it out, you know, but it's coming, and it's going to be awesome.
Nice. And how many people do you have, or do you have a staff of people already, or is this going to be a brand new staff?
We have an existing staff that we're taking from the medical spa room that works there now, and we're hiring new people. So it's a total of eight members altogether at that location.
Okay, so your other location, you're no longer going to have the medical spa piece there. Is that what it is?
It won't be a medical spa. It'll just be an esthetician room there, so people will be able to get, like, you know, still, like, waxes and lashes and just, like, you know, it will bring it down a little bit. But
gotcha.
The room and everything will still be there. Like, they'll still be able to get a hydrofacial there, so you can go to both locations for that. But, you know, all of the major services will be shifted to that new location.
Gotcha.
Awesome. I'm excited.
Me
yeah.
too, ladies. Too.
This is really nice. It's huge. It's a big deal, but it's also needed. And I'm glad that a black woman is providing it.
Listen. Okay, that's the best part of it all. It's like, honestly, not even just black women. It's just that I'm able to. You know, I'm black. That's the bonus. You know, when you work hard, it's like, you
right.
know, as we want to be seen. You know, we want to be seen. We want to be in the building. We want to be let in. So it's like I get just excited when people be like, oh, wow, she's in Harbor East. Like, you know, just doing that just for people just to know, girl, yes, you can do that too, you know. You know, you can do that. So I really hope that it does nothing more than just really inspire people and, you know, make sure that you work hard for stuff. Because I think sometimes the Instagram life makes people forget that, that you know, you have to still work hard for stuff.
Right.
You
yeah,
know?
Absolutely.
And you can get it. And it may take a little longer, but you're going to get it.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Well, tell me a little bit about some of the challenges that you've faced just throughout, you know, your career as an entrepreneur, like from the first salon. And, I mean, you just told us a little bit about trying to obtain this location and some of the challenges. But what has been some of the challenges that you may have faced just as a young entrepreneur?
I think the biggest challenge, I think, as a young entrepreneur is just been learning how to properly do business when I was younger. You know, you think making money is doing business. That is hustling. That's what that is. You know, when you're younger, you're making money, you think you're doing business. That is not what business is. So I think, honestly, I have the biggest challenge just for me is just always just learning how to say, okay, we've gotten to this level. How do you get better? So just really, you know, being more intentional, I had to really, you know, you go fast young, you just, you can be big-headed young. You know, when you're young, you're big-headed, so you do everything. You hit all the walls. And at that time, it's okay. So for me, it was just really more so because I had my career so long, I took it for granted. And I wasn't really always, you know, aware that, you know, you have to do things in a business sense. So my biggest lessons from business is when I learned to franchise, because franchise really kind of squared me away to do business proper, you know. So I was learning that you're not really doing business proper, you know. And I took a major loss in franchising. I lost, like, a lot of money, y'all. And that was, like, the first time I learned in business. Well, learned in business that, you know, you have to really be organized as a business owner. You really have to have things set up in a proper way to really do big business, because that's how big business gets done. And that moment, that actual loss actually set me up for me to be able to do my Maddie Spa, ironically. And I thought that was, like, the worst time of my life. One of the other thing I learned is early on is about paperwork. Still another business lesson. I actually, first when I started, I was called Goldilocks Hair, and Goldilocks Hair was actually owned by L'Oreal, and they had it patented. I didn't know that, you know, that was patented. So I had built, like, this big Twitter following, all of this big crazy following, and lo and behold, you cannot do infringement. So it's fine on the internet because the internet is free world, but you cannot do that on an actual brick and mortar. So I got sued for infringement, and I was so young and arrogant, and, you know, I'm like, I'm going to fight for this. This is mine. So a couple grand later, it was like, sweetheart, this is an uphill battle for you. So I changed my name, and that's actually how I became Chase Stewart. I was actually Goldilocks Hair, and that was the first time I learned, you know, just about doing, again, hiring a lawyer, making sure that, you know, all of your documents are, you know, intact and things like that. So most of my lessons have just been, you know, moving too fast. And so I've learned a lot just over the years as a young entrepreneur. That was my most uphill battle. And it just really taught me how to better pivot, too. You know, when you think things are going left, you know, be ahead of things and not behind it. So mostly my lessons have just been about how to be a better business person to be who I am today.
Wow. Wow. I wasn't expecting you to say that, you know, with the name thing and being sued. But it, you know, it does happen, and you mm-hmm. can prove that, you know, and that's something that, you know, as business owners, from the very beginning, we need to do our research, especially when it comes to those names, you know, just making sure, because sometimes you come up with names and you're thinking, I'm the only one who's going to have this. You're not even thinking that somebody, especially a bigger brand, would have a very similar name. So we have to, you know, do our research and just make sure we have everything in line. A lot of times we don't get the attorney and we don't do this and we don't do that because maybe we don't want to spend the money or maybe the funds are limited, but we can't skip out on certain things when starting a business because it will cost us the same money and more that we didn't want to spend. So that was great information. Do you have any advice you would share with a young person who's not necessarily, they don't have to necessarily be young, but just someone who's getting ready to start out in the beauty business, particularly with salons and getting ready to, you know, open up their first salon? Do you have any advice you would share with them?
Yeah, my best advice for any person that wants to do that, I would say take your time and learn and perfect your business. I think a lot of times we see people think that business now just is so easily done that you can just be a business owner because you can get a suite, you can put your name on it. Just really taking your time to learn your business, learn your craft, I would say definitely give your time to work in other people's salons so you can see how they run their business, so you can know how to run your business. And then from there, you can just start to trust yourself and trust your decisions and believe in yourself. That's really what it takes, because a lot of people have good ideas, but the execution part fails. So, you know, old school, old-fashioned hard work and execution.
Nice. What are some of the most important things, I'm going back to the hair and skin now, what are some of the most important things that women should know about caring for their hair and their skin?
I'm sorry, guys, I'm getting a little loud in here because I'm in the midst of a wrap-up. I would say when it comes to your skin, you have to treat it like, I mean, our skin is our largest organ, and we actually always forget about it. So people think that your skin is sustainable, and it really does require that you take care of your skin like you take care, you know, you get your health checkups, you get your teeth checkups, you know, we take care of all those things that we forget about our skin. So I'll just say make sure that you check in, develop some type of daily routine, even if it's just a basic cleanser, exfoliating, sunscreen. Those are just the basics. For your hair, I would say it's just like anything else. You go to the gym for results, your hair requires the same type of discipline. And I think people have gotten away from that a little bit. So making sure that you make time for that. Simple things, trim, sticking to your trim and treatment routine so that you can always just make sure that your hair is in the best state.
Nice. Is there anything else that you may not have talked about today that you would like to share with our listening audience?
You know what? No, I think we've covered a lot of good parts. If anyone is following my story, I just think the biggest thing is just to make sure that people just know whatever they want to go after in life. You might put some years in, but eventually it all comes together. And that's the only testimony that I want to be to people, and I want them to just know that if it's a thing that you believe in, as crazy as it is, even if you're doing a shift in business, if you're changing, you know, a lot of times people are scared of transitions, and I made this transition at 30 from a career that I was very dedicated to, and it's working out for me. So I just encourage people to go with what feels right for them in their career.
Nice. So we thank you so much. I know you have a lot, you know, that you're still involved in right now, so we won't hold you long, but we thank you so much for joining us tonight. We're excited about what you have going on. Can't wait for things to jump off and start happening in September.
Oh, you know what? Thank you guys so much. This is actually my first interview, and when I got it and I seen you guys and I followed you and read your story, I was just very appreciative that you thought so highly to consider me to have this conversation. So thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Well, this won't be the last one to talk.
Not for sure.
Yes,
for sure.
So again, congratulations.
Thank you so much. You ladies have a wonderful evening.
You too. Have a good night.
All right. You too.
Bye-bye. Thank you guys for tuning in tonight. We were just speaking with Kiana Stewart of K. Stewart Beauty. She's located in Baltimore, Maryland. She's opening up a mani spa in the Harbor East area of Baltimore. She says she's the only Black female business in the Harbor East area, and she's one of three Black-owned businesses in the Harbor East area. So if you know anything about the Harbor East area, that's a big deal. So I'm so happy to see a Black female with prime real estate. So very happy for her. And actually what she's bringing to that area is something for not just Black women, but for all women and men. So I'm happy about that as well. So we'll continue to follow her journey and see what she's doing. But for those who may be in the Baltimore area listening right now, she is opening September 3rd, she said. So look out for that. And whenever we have information about that, we will definitely share it. But we thank you guys for tuning in. And as always on Monday, as always on Sunday night, there's always an early call on Monday mornings. So we're cutting this a little short, just a little short tonight. But again, thank you guys for tuning in.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to let everybody know that next week we will be joined by the Bronner Brothers. So if you know anything about the Bronner Brothers hair show, anything about Bronner Brothers hair products, if you are a hairstylist and been in the industry for a long time or even for a short period of time, please consider joining us next Sunday night. And we're going to come on at 7 p.m. instead of 9, but next Sunday night, the 25th at 7 p.m., and we're going to be joined by the Bronner Brothers, Bernard and James Bronner. So please join us next Sunday night at 7 p.m. I wanted to put that out there now so that everybody's aware, but it's 7 p.m. and we'll be posting about it, but just wanted to put that out there. But please, please join us. Please bring your questions and let's have a good show.
All right. Tell them where they can follow us.
They can follow us on Facebook. Wait, is that the right name of the Facebook? I said it, but it didn't sound right. You can join us on Facebook. We're Beauty Talk Online Radio. And then you can, join us on Twitter, we're beauty_talk. And then on Instagram, we're beauty_talk_media. And then you can join Janice and I both on the same platforms, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by our names, Janice Tunnell, JanicTunnell, and Denise Tunnell, DeniseTunnell.
All right. Thank you guys again for joining us tonight. Have a wonderful evening and have a beautiful and blessed week. Talk to you guys next week. Good night.
Yes. Good night. Have a good week.